I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard's deputy editor digital, Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith. Coming up today on the show, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard's deputy editor digital, Joe Lynch.
There's a couple of deputy editor digitals
Indeed.
Running around.
Well, I think they're exactly two.
There are just two.
Me, and it's Joe Lynch.
It's like me and Gary Truss. We're
exactly.
Both co-directors of charts.
Our co's.
Why are you not co-deputy editor?
Oh, that just seems like a lot. Too many words.
Too many
syllables.
Well, anyways, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, titles at Billboard, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got Must Hear Music. Joe and the team will be chatting about the new lavish reissue of Prince and the Revolution's Purple Rain album and more, so stay tuned.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. I think we have actually mentioned this before on an earlier Pop Shop podcast. But the Purple Rain reissue was actually overseen by Prince, at least in part. Its reissue was announced before he died, actually back in April of 2014. And at the time, the reissue was slated to come out in time for the 30th anniversary of the album and the movie, Purple Rain.
But it didn't quite make that anniversary, did it?
Not quite. The album originally came out in June of 1984, and the movie, I think, came out like maybe 5 or 6 weeks later in July of 84. So it would appear that the reissue got put on the back burner while Prince worked on his then upcoming albums, Plectrum Electrum and Artificial Age.
Hmm. Well, now that the Purple Rain reissue has finally arrived in time for its 33rd anniversary,
hey,
Let's hear what Joe and the team have to say about this classic number one album here on Must Hear Music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
How are you guys doing?
I've had a bug bites on my leg. I'm scratching my leg.
That time of year.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you move out of the city. No bug bites in New York, but
welcome
out
to
in
Nutley.
Jersey. Yeah.
I was in Boston this past weekend, shooting off like fireworks and stuff.
Nice.
So it's fun. Not by myself, but with family members.
At people? Or?
We can't verify that.
Just walking down the street, any passerby got a face full of firework.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
I had a pretty good weekend. Thanks for asking. It was New York Pride, and my favorite on the season of Drag Race won, Sasha Velour.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Couldn't be more excited.
Very happy
for
you.
Happy for her, really. Congrats,
yeah.
Sasha.
I can't believe that she won.
I know you can't. Yeah, you were betting against her, and I told you.
You watch? I didn't know that.
Yeah, every day.
He's never seen
every
it.
Single day.
All right, well, the other really exciting thing to happen on last Friday was
Transformers the Last Night.
Oh, that's actually I was when I was a child, the animated movie I absolutely loved.
Really?
I've never seen a fan of it.
I've never seen a minute of any Transformers movie.
What?
They're kind of awful, yeah. The new ones, I think. But some people like them.
Some people do.
Our friend Trish likes them.
Shout out to Trish.
Mm-hmm.
Loves Transformers.
She's big into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she does. I don't know much about her, but I know she loves them. And I know she's seen them all multiple times.
Kind of disgusting. But anyways, music.
Aside from that.
So, I'm a big Prince fan.
Of course.
As, you know, anyone who is on the planet knows, Prince tragically died. Which is the worst thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
But this last week, we got the first... he was very, I guess, mysterious and secretive both in life and music. So throughout the course of his creative career, he never really gave people... you know, this goes from either journalists or documentaries or whatever, a peek into his creative process. So after he died, like, this allowed basically for the first time for his, you know, surviving... family members and, you know, whoever else has the rights to all that stuff to... He has a literal vault in his basement to crack into that. And even though he never shared any of this, like, behind the scenes or unreleased songs, he, like, meticulously kept all the recordings.
Yeah.
And he was a very prolific guy. So what we have... Anyway, so I'll just cut forward. So the Purple Rain Deluxe Edition came out. It's a 3-disc version. Disc one is a remastered album, which sounds great. Third disc is B-sides and some extended versions that were on, like, various vinyl releases back in the day. I think all of that was previously released, but all of the second disc is previously unreleased stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's about an hour of new Prince music. It's absolutely incredible. I listened to it, like, 5 times, one after the other. It's just, like, it's basically, like, in a lot of ways, a new Prince album from his, like, creative peak of, like, 83 and 84. It's not like demos or anything. Like, it's not, this isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, here's an alternate mix version, and you listen to it and you're like, I guess that sounds sort of different. This is like,
yeah,
sort of like entirely like finished, produced, like there's strings, there's the mixing is done like meticulously. It's just incredible stuff. So the ones I want to talk about are Our Destiny / Roadhouse Garden.
Yeah.
Which is a really lovely, beautiful song. What did you guys... Did you guys listen to that one?
It reminded me of Baby I'm a Star a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of, you know, the whole tempo and the way it's arranged. My question, just kind of zooming out from these songs, like, does any part of you feel icky while listening to them? Because clearly Prince didn't want them out.
I feel like that a little bit.
Yeah. Part of me, yeah, and I wrote, we have a thing called the Album of the Week now, and I wrote a little bit, vaguely touched on that. It is a little odd. Like, there's no denying, like, if he hadn't died, we wouldn't have this right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, these aren't things that he never wanted released. It's just that he hadn't released them. In fact, in 1998, I think, so Roadhouse Garden was this unreleased album. So it's songs he recorded with The Revolution, mm-hmm, in the 80s. And then around 98, 99, he announced that he was going to release these songs as an album called Roadhouse Garden, including the song. And then for whatever reason, he changed his mind and didn't release it. Mm-hmm. And he had always kind of talked about these things getting released eventually. Just for whatever reason, he didn't get around to it. So it's not so much that these are like publishing someone's journals. It's not like these were like diaries he never wanted people to see. These were things he was probably going to release at some point, but just never ended up doing that.
Yep.
So it's not super creepy, but I agree. It's odd, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's super creepy. It's kind of like when, it's definitely better than when Michael Jackson passed away. Do you remember the album that came out after that?
Yes.
With Akon and 50 Cent, and it was called Michael,
right.
And it came out about a year and change after he passed away, and it was not very good. And then they made Escape a couple years later, and that was actually pretty good. But
yeah, I mean, this is not the case of, like, someone dies and they take, like, a couple half-finished songs
featuring,
and, you know,
Akon.
And throw Akon on them. Or...
What if that... Purple Rain featuring Akon. Have you heard that version?
Right,
oh,
yeah.
It's really good. No, I liked Roadhouse. Why am I blanking on the name?
Roadhouse Garden.
Garden, yeah. Sorry. I liked it. Yeah, it definitely had, like, it was cool to hear something, because Purple Rain's one of my favorite albums as well. It's cool to hear something clearly from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't like a Prince song that was made in 1993. This was made during the height of Purple Rain. and that project that's his greatest. And even though, like, you can have some quibbles of like, oh, this should have made the cut or it shouldn't have, but like it's just a cool thing to hear.
Yeah,
something from that time period. What do you think, Lindsay?
I actually think whenever something like this happens where they put out unreleased or expanded versions, like the other song you picked, which I'm blanking on that title, but
yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Well,
yeah.
Of the two that you picked. Lindsay. Sorry. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to go into it anyway just because it's my main point.
But all right, fine. Well, the other one I wanted, so on the album, there's Computer Blue, a 4-minute edit of it, and this is the first release of the full 12-minute unedited version.
Yes.
Which is absolutely bonkers and very, very cool, I think.
I totally
agree.
Jason
refused to listen to it. But
yeah, that's true. No, I did. Yeah.
You listened to it?
I don't want to hear Computer Blue.
Oh, I don't know. 12 minutes.
No way. No thanks.
Well, it was crazy. And see, I like hearing something like that instead because it's just like a looser rendition of a song that people already know and love. So it's cool just to hear like, oh, that's how long it actually went for, and like that's what it is, not cut down and trimmed to be like this perfect song for the album.
Totally.
So of the two you picked, that's my favorite.
Like, and the same thing is true of Let's Go Crazy. They recorded I think the original version is about 8 minutes, and that was released back in the 80s on a single. So the album version of Let's Go Crazy is an edited version. But the full Computer Blue is a, like, you listen to the album version, like, it's a weird song, but it's pretty meticulously put together. This 12-minute version that we've just got for the first time is just, like, insane. Like, it starts pretty much the same, and then it just completely goes off into a weird tangent where there's just this, like, pulsating, like, unstoppable beat that just keeps going while, like, random guitar licks are going. The synths are, like, sound like the person playing them is possessed. Instead of lyrics, it's just like weird spoken words sections where Prince is like talking about something about like the sun exploding.
Wow.
Wendy or Lisa is talking to the computer and she goes, "Poor lonely computer, you don't know the difference between love or lust," or stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
It's just like,
it's wild. Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
I walked into the office, heard you saying the same thing to your MacBook the other day.
I was kind of stroking it and
I was like, "Joe, we have
a
meeting."
As you do every Monday morning.
Got to start the week right.
Yep.
Anyways, though, so both of those are my two highlights. And yeah, the as for Roadhouse Garden itself, it's a very, like, it reminds me of the next album after this, which was Around the World in a Day, which is kind of his Sgt. Pepper-y, like, psychedelic pastoral
That's a good point.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
But let's listen to, oh, we should have did this. Well, maybe we'll throw the Crazy Computer Blue on at the end of this episode. But let's listen to a little bit of Roadhouse Garden right now. And I see the door come inside. It's all right. It's all right. This is the house where life's a play. Don't let the color scare you away. It's all right. It's all right. All right. That was Prince, Roadhouse Garden from the Purple Rain Deluxe, which is absolutely incredible. Album of the year 2017 is a recording from 1984.
Great.
But let's talk about a Jason pick. So we have, what do we have from you? Oh, Vince Staples.
Vince Staples.
Big Fish.
Yeah, so Vince Staples' new album, Big Fish Theory, came out last week. And yeah, already one of my favorite albums of the year after a couple of listens. Yeah, it's, I need to dive more into it, but like, you know, it's funny because I've always, Vince Staples is somebody who I've always appreciated from the beginnings, but didn't never, like, from Blue Suede and on, never really fell in love with any of his albums. Obviously, you know, you had Summertime 06 and there were some great singles, but I didn't love his projects like straight through. And then this one came out and I was like, all right, this is it. This is the one for me, because it's like, it's kind of an homage to electronic music and like deep house and grime, and but with him kind of doing his thing over everything. And again, I you know, it only came out a few days ago. I don't want to get too deep into it because I haven't gotten too deep into it. But yeah, Big Fish I've listened to, which is the second track on the album. I've listened to like 18 times. It's just like, yeah, it's just like such a fun, like, driving around song when I'm driving around Nutley, New Jersey, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
As one
you
is
just
one doxed to do.
Yourself, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine. that's true. I have no regrets. Yeah, and he sounds great on it, but it has this huge hook that kind of reminds me of like Clips and Birdman and Big Timers, everything from the early 2000s, and that I really appreciate. And yeah, well, what'd you guys think?
I really liked it too. I will say, from the album as a whole, I expected it to be a little bit more political,
mm-hmm.
just compared to what fair. He's done. But the one song that was, what is it, Bag Back? Is that how you say
yeah.
it? I think that's like the main politically driven song on the album.
Yeah.
So at least there was something. But Big Fish is probably my favorite track as well.
Yeah.
And I like the direction. I think you're a big fan of grime.
Yeah,
I think
that's totally. The conclusion Stormzy. Of
grime. Yeah, that's who comes to mind. But I definitely noticed that too, and that's what I like about it. It was unexpected, maybe just because I haven't been following his career, so maybe it was a little
yeah
on the nose for him. But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I liked it. I still haven't listened. I mean, the album came out Friday. My Friday was consumed with Prince, and sure. then it was Pride weekend, that's so fair. I didn't get anything else done.
You didn't blast Vince Staples
while driving around Nutley?
It was not Come played. On.
While
no.
driving around Nutley?
No, so I've not sat with the album yet.
Myself. Everyone listening to this podcast is taking notes. Oh, so that's the New Jersey town Jason frequents.
Okay. Yep, exactly. Nutley Diner, if you want to really find out where Jason is. Anyways, oh no, I so sorry. Wow, I really started just thinking about diners for a second.
That's
I was
okay.
like, yeah, Vince Staples, Big Fish. I like the song a lot. I still haven't sat with the full album, so I can't really speak to that. But the couple songs I've heard leading up to it, I've liked. I'm kind of glad to hear you say that because I liked, when the last album I like appreciated Summertime 06, but I definitely did. Like, I feel like everyone in music journalism was just like absolutely in love with it, and I was like, oh, this is really good, but it wasn't.
That's kind of how exactly
something
how I
that
felt.
I
yeah.
like wanted to return to frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost like an admiration instead of like a passion for me in terms of
right,
his
yes.
stuff. But you know that, and that's the thing is that it just didn't connect with me personally. This one definitely does. The whole album is really really fantastic, and yeah, Big Fish is kind of a good jumping off point.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's give a little listen to Big Fish from Big Fish Theory.
From the sharks, maybe want to put the hammer to my head at the park, probably ticking with the kids, trying to get them on a straight path. Got the lanes mad, no, they hate to see me make cash. Got the space dash in the forum with the GPS address to your mama house. Conversations, what I'm all about. Took the smart route, never been marked out. Should have been dead broke, should have been chalked out. But
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, that was new Vince Staples. Lindsay, let's talk
Lindsay.
About your pick.
I think Lindsay won the podcast this week with this pick.
I think so. So,
all right, I'll take it.
Group is Parcels. Song is Overnight.
Yep.
What can you tell us about this?
Well, About the band in general, because I feel like people are probably unfamiliar with them, as I was. They all have beautiful hair. That's probably the biggest takeaway. So they formed in 2014, not too long ago. They're Australian, but then they moved to Berlin, which makes
like
a lot
of
sense.
The new art capital of the world, basically.
Totally. And when you listen to them, they're like, I think what I was reading, like, they wanted to move there because of the, like, deep house and techno influences, and that's so clear on their music. And this song I love, it was produced by Daft Punk, who I'm a huge fan of, and that it's very obvious when you listen to it. Like, it could have almost been on Random Access Memories.
Yeah, that's definitely what I thought.
Which I'm fine with. Like, if you want to have Daft Punk stamp your music, that's great.
Yeah. So good. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I listened to it when it came out last week, and yeah, it's just... Yeah, exactly. It's just it's totally like comfort food. It's like this throwback, easy listening but danceable disco vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you got that Daft Punk cosign, it's kind of like when you know, the like back in the day when it was like you had these remember when Michelle Gondry would direct a music video from just a complete unknown artist, and you'd be like, oh, who are these? I gotta check these out. Yeah. I kind of felt like this with the, I was like, oh, Daft Punk produced this. This is great. I gotta check it out. Shout out to Michelle Gondry, who made some.
Who's definitely listening right now.
Remember, like, Stereogram, Walkie Talkie Man with the yarn? That was a great video. Then he did, didn't he do a metronomy video? Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole. But no, it's cool. You have this association. And then the song is also great, and now this opens up Parcels to a whole new audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. You know, the whole, like, disco-funk thing is certainly up my alley. It's something I'm never going to be mad at listening to. It must just be crazy, though, for this band. I mean, I don't know their history, but, like you're a new-ish band, and then, like, Daft Punk is like, oh, we'll produce you. Like,
yeah,
that must be just astonishing. But yeah, and it's also just so weird, like, I mean, Daft Punk always had this vibe, but, like, that they've just become the, like, torchbearers for, like, you know, they're, like, French DJs, and now they're torchbearers for a very, like, American, like, music genre, like, late 70s New York funk disco. It's just, like, so odd to me.
You know what makes me a little bit sad?
Thinking,
what? Somebody, I read something about this song that was, like, why couldn't Daft Punk had made this song for Phoenix? And I was just like,
what?
I do. I kind of feel that way. I feel like this could have fit in on the as the first single on the new Phoenix record. Lindsay's not feeling that take.
Nah.
Too hot of a take. Some
scorching.
Would say.
Yes.
I'm not super into Phoenix, honestly. I'm just like those singles that were, you know, like Listomania.
Yes, exactly.
Like, those were great, but it's just they're not a band I love.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah,
sorry.
I'm happy for Parcels in this situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. But
Jason, you just want the rich to keep getting richer.
Yeah.
And the poor, like Parcels, to stay poorer.
The Prince and the
disgusting.
Parcels.
Yeah. The Prince and the Parcels. That's the name of this podcast episode. Incredible.
That should be the name of their album.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's good. All right. Let's listen to it. So it's Parcels. This song is called Overnight and is produced by Daft Punk, and it's a great Lindsay pick.
The moment I was wishing it was overnight, the minute I was thinking to hold you back. The moment I was wishing it's overnight.
All right, that was Parcels. Let's do the Jason pick.
I'm still mad at you guys for your Phoenix.
He's aggressively
Phoenix
shaking his head.
Phoenix is way better than you guys are giving credit for. But anyway, let's move on.
Right. Yeah, so the last one we're going to talk about is the song Nothing by Verité.
Oh, Verité, yeah. So Verité is, you know, I think really one of the most slept on kind of alt-pop singer-songwriters out there. She finally just released her debut album after putting out a handful of EPs. And, you know, the whole album is just really solid and really consistent. She's never really had that breakout hit, but I feel like Nothing is kind of emblematic of her strengths. It's just, it's very beautiful. Like, she sounds excellent on it. She has something interesting to say on it. It's just like, yeah, I always feel like she has not had her breakout moment yet, but I'm really happy that she finally has an album out, and I think there are just a lot of really, I don't know, there are just some really powerful moments on it, and I don't know, what'd you guys think listening to this and listening to, I don't know if you listened to any of the album in general, but it's great. I like it a lot.
I didn't listen to the full album yet. I thought about choosing this song too because I really did like it. But
wow.
Glad I didn't because I chose the better of the
yeah.
songs,
wow.
But I think she was in our office last week.
She was, yeah.
And I was walking by. I was really unfamiliar. I didn't know who it was. And her voice was incredible.
Yeah.
So that sort of like drew me in. And then to hear it sound just as great on the album was really nice. And I think this song's a good example of that.
Yeah. I was blanking on the name of the single, but Phase Me Out, which came out at the very top of the year, is included on her album. It's really great, too. But yeah, I like Nothing. And what would you think, Joe?
I also was not familiar with her. And yeah, I mean, it made me curious to listen to the rest of the album. You know, it's not like one of those songs where it's like immediately stuck in your head. But I think the voice is pretty incredible. And the delivery is very controlled and interesting, so I would be interested to hear more. And that's cool to hear that she can sing, that she can do the same thing live. I missed that.
Yeah, she was really great.
She's great live. Fun fact about her: so I met Kelsey, who is the singer of Verite, a few years ago, and she had just left her job at the Applebee's in Times Square.
Wow!
Imagine Look working at the now. Applebee's.
I actually, in can Times I worked Square? At the Starbucks in Times
Did
Square?
Did you really?
For a year.
No what? Way! Yeah. Which year?
2008 to 2009.
I feel like I was.
Do you
in...
have photos?
I mean,
you have photos.
I guess I don't know. Probably.
I need to see one.
Yeah. Come on.
It was. I mean, it was fine. It's like anything, you know. I liked the people I worked with, but yeah, it was very busy. So that was a nightmare on occasion. It was not fun to do hungover.
Why'd you go to Times Square?
It was just where I could get a job. I needed a job. Oof. So, and that's where I got it. So. It was interesting. Did I eat the leftover food? You bet I did.
Oh yeah, that
I
was
would
one.
Expect
I,
no less.
Mm-hmm. I also worked at a Starbucks. I actually, it was a Barnes & Noble cafe, which served Starbucks.
Yes.
Oh,
that's significantly nicer.
It's very nice actually, because it was like a Starbucks, but never really that busy. Everybody's chill, got their books.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry that you had to work in Times Square though. That's crazy.
You know what? It was an interesting experience.
It probably is.
Maybe I served you coffee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe you did because I was like interning at that point in the city.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah.
And I think I might have served Lindsay, but you were, I don't even know if you were born yet.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
I don't think so. 2008,
I
was probably
far too
not.
Young to be drinking coffee, even
yeah,
if I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
But.
2008, yeah, you were probably, yeah, like your mom came in the stroller.
Yeah, that's what it was. The good old days.
All right. Well, let's listen to Verite, Nothing, and it's from her album, Somewhere in Between.
There's nothing I could say. There's nothing I could. So take it a better day. So take it a better.
All right, that was Verite. Instead of the usual outro music, we're going to play some of the lengthy version of Computer Blue.
What's our usual outro
be
music?
Be cool. You don't listen to the full podcast?
Come on.
I don't
on.
Think I do. I it's, think I usually. I think what I usually do is like when it wraps up, then I'm like, okay.
No, you just flip through all your parts.
Right.
Just hear yourself speak.
You have your wife splice together just your voice, and then you listen to it while you go to sleep.
Yeah, she's like, do you want to hear the whole podcast? No, just my parts.
Just the great. Me parts. No, the outro is The Smiths' How Soon Is Now.
Oh, I never knew that.
And
I think I probably knew that at some point.
You probably knew that at some point, yeah. But, yeah, and I don't know, what's next week? Oh, well, there's a new Jay-Z album. So for
right.
everyone who is a Sprint subscriber or however that works, a title subscriber and a Sprint carrier, what do you call that?
Sure.
I don't know.
Customer.
I have to figure out how I'm going to listen to this album.
Should we do mid-year picks?
Next week? Maybe not next week. We got to talk about the Jay-Z next week.
Well, we could do both. We could just do like a little.
We'll see. Yeah, wow. we should do mid-year.
Didn't we do something like that already though?
Didn't we do quarter picks?
We did. I think we did that. Yeah.
Seems like it's time for the half.
It might be time. Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay. Anyways, thank you for listening. We're gonna
catch us in Times Square.
Catch us in Times Square, either Applebee's or Starbucks or
love it.
TGIF. Who knows. All right. Anyways, thank you for listening. If you have Song of the Summer recommendations, you know, what you've been enjoying, please tweet it at us. Or just, you know, anything. So
anything at all.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Our lovely computer, it's time someone programmed you. It's time you learned love and lust. They both have four letters, but they're entirely different words.